Good morning. Hey, we trust and pray that everybody is doing well this morning. Good to see a good-looking crowd with us today. We're glad that you have chosen to be with us as we kick off once again this new year of 2021, hoping for a better 2021 than 2020 was. But if you're here, we're glad that you're with us. If you're outside in the parking lot, we're grateful for Ernie Wall, who's got us into your automobile by frequency 105.5 FM. We're glad that you have joined us today. And those that are over in the sanctuary who are watching by way of simulcast, as well as those who are online in our online community. Now, one of the things that COVID has done for us is kind of pulled us apart, and that's pretty counterintuitive to who we are as Christian people, but we still try to do the best we can to maintain that smile, that presence. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to, if you're in this room or if you're in the sanctuary, look around at each other and pick somebody and wave at them and give them a big smile. If you're outside in the parking lot, look over at the car next to you and wave at somebody and give them a welcoming smile. If you're part of our online community, one of the things we want you to do is say hello to Dr. Gant, who's over there monitoring our online community. Say hello to somebody that you see there in the feed, as well as the fact that we might have some folks from Pipestem Southern Baptist Church that might be tuning in as part of our broadcast today. We welcome you. We're glad that you're here with us and that you're a part of our worship service today. But at any rate, it is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It is a great day to put aside all the thoughts, the cares of the world, the job, the family, the day, and for these moments just to concentrate on what the message is that the Lord has for each and every one of us individually as well as corporately. So as we begin today, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you, we're so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be able to gather. Lord, so many times we wind up being in a situation where we have to lose something before we appreciate what we had. And Lord, it is a beautiful day today to be able to see our brothers and sisters in Christ, to reach out in many different venues, to just be a part of the lives of each and every person who has decided that today they wanted to be in your presence and in your presence with your children, brothers and sisters in Christ. So Father, today I pray that you will help us to focus upon you. Lord, let the distractions of life not come in at this point. Help us, Lord, to truly hear what it is that you have to say to us. For you tell us that if we seek, we will find. If we knock, it shall be open to us. And you want to speak to us through your word today. So, Father, bless this time. Bless each and everything that will happen and take place. May it honor and glorify you as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's always good to have Doug and JD with us. They're going to come today, and they're going to share with us in song, "I Know Your Heart's Going to Be Blessed."
Earth to God, coming God, we know you're there, hearing our prayer wherever you are. We need you now, send your love down, take us close to the Holy Ghost in your name now. We need your light,
we need your love
to heal the world you made and save us now
in our darkest hour
by your amazing grace. Earth to God,
we're holding on, but not for long. Will you kill us close to the Holy Ghost
and keep us strong? We need your light,
we need your love
to heal the world you made
save us now
in our darkest hour
by your amazing grace. God, coming God, earth to God, coming God,
earth to God,
coming God,
coming God,
earth to God,
coming God,
we need your light. We need your love to heal the world you made. And save us now in our darkest hour by your amazing grace.
Earth to God,
coming God.
Earth to God, coming God.
And their talents that God has given them with each and every one of us, and what a blessing. God's amazing grace. We'll touch on that some today as well. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Throughout the New Testament, one of the things that Jesus always seemed to have an issue with, and one of the biggest, I would call it, burrs under his saddle, were the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees were always trying to test him. The Pharisees were that crew that were the educated crew, the ones that actually should have known the presence of Jesus, the ones who had heard all of the Old Testament prophecies. They knew what the Old Testament said about a coming Messiah. And yet when Jesus was in their presence, they missed him. They were too busy being spiritual, and so busy being spiritual that they completely missed the Savior. And that's where we hear the passage. It says that the Lord came to his own, and his own knew him and received him not. Now it was talking about the Jewish people. And one of the things that we see throughout the New Testament is how Jesus continually had to try to get the point across to the Pharisees. And in the passage that we're going to look at today, he realized that the Pharisees had an attitude. And I'm going to hold with just that word right now, attitude. Many of us have been in a circumstance or a situation before where somebody has told us that we have a bad attitude. How many of you have been there? Somebody ever say to you, "You got a bad attitude," or "I don't like your attitude about this." And of course, naturally, we just, you know, humbly agreed with them, right? Wrong. Well, neither did the Pharisees. So Jesus is continuing to try to get a message across to them. He is continually attacking the attitude of the Pharisees. Not only was he attacking the attitude of the Pharisees, but he was also attacking the attitude of the Jews as a whole. And today, I still believe that God is attacking our attitudes when they're in the wrong order. Today, I believe that we've got some issues as a country. We've got some issues as a people. And I know most of you all are out there going, "No." Yeah, we certainly have some issues. But yet the problem with it is that some of the attitude of typical America has also crept in to the body of Christ, which is not a good thing at all. Yeah, we have adopted the attitude of the world. Instead of us being a change agent for the world has been more of a change agent toward us. And you'll understand in just a moment as we talk about these things. Now, first of all, I want us to think about what the attitude in our society is today when it comes down to disagreeing with someone else. Why is it so hard for people to be able to love one another and still disagree? Have you thought about that? There was a time, even in my life, that I could remember that I may not agree with somebody else, but because I didn't agree with them didn't mean that we had to hate one another. It meant that we had a difference in opinion. You know, obviously we would try to point out why our opinion was more right. They would try to point out why theirs was. Most of the time, neither party swayed the other, did they? But yet we could still walk away loving one another. We could still walk away being brothers and sisters in Christ. But the attitude and the mindset of today is that if you don't agree with me, then I have to hate you. Yeah, I have to. Yeah, I have to not hang around with you. I have to not talk with you. I have to despise everything about you. You know what I'm saying? Have you seen it where you are? That when somebody doesn't agree with you, all of a sudden it's like you just get cut completely off. Well, let me tell you something that may or may not shock you. That is not a new attitude whatsoever in the Word of God. Look with me at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading at verse 43. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning with verse 43. It says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we trust and pray that we have cleared our minds of the things that would hinder us from hearing your word today, the things that might hinder the Holy Spirit's work, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others and in the lives of those around us. Lord, I pray that we will give careful attention to you over these next few moments, that your word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, would truly pierce our heart. Lord, that you would correct us where we're wrong. Lord, that you would speak encouragement into our hearts. Lord, that you would forgive our sins. And most of all, if there's one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, Lord, we pray that today would be the day they would surrender their life to you. Life everlasting, life of joy, life of peace, and a life that only comes through our resurrected Savior. Lord, for these next few moments, I pray that you will use me, Lord, your vessel today, the one that you have called to stand before your people. May the words that come forth truly be words of the Holy Spirit, not from this pastor. Speak to our hearts. We know you want to. We know that you are here. We know that you have a message for all of us. May we leave this place today having received your message and made adjustments to it. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see what was going on in this particular passage? Jesus pointed out an error of the teaching and the modeling that the Pharisees were doing. Look again at verse 48. Notice what he said. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said." Now, where was it heard from? It had been heard from the Pharisees. That's what the Pharisees had been teaching. That's what the Jews had been going by. They had been going by this particular statement. It says, "You have heard," verse 43, "you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Does that sound like something that Jesus would say? I mean, I'm doing that as a poll. I know the coffee may not have kicked in yet, but I'm asking you, does that sound like something Jesus would say? That you are supposed to love your neighbor. In other words, I'm supposed to love people like me. I'm supposed to love those who agree with me. But if somebody disagrees with me, if somebody is not of my neighbor, if somebody is not of my nationality, if somebody is not of my ethnicity, then I'm supposed to hate them. Does that sound like something Jesus would say? The answer to that question is emphatically no. But as you can see right here, that's what the Pharisees were teaching. That's what they had been surrounded by. In other words, it was one of those situations that if I'm a Jew, I'm better than you. If you are a Gentile, then you are nothing but a peon over there. I am not even supposed to have any dealings with you. I am better than you. I am more worthy than you. I am more educated than you. I am more everything than you are because you are nothing. In fact, I am not even supposed to have really anything to do with you because you're a Gentile. That was what was being propagated by the Pharisees. And Jesus said it. Now notice, that was what was being taught. Verse 43 says, you have heard. This is what they had been hearing from their leaders. This is what they had been hearing from their teachers. You have heard, verse 43, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Folks, let me just put an explanation point at the end of this. Jesus never told us to hate our enemy, ever. Not one single time through the word has he told us to hate our enemy. In fact, Jesus doesn't just leave it open for opinion right here. Jesus doesn't just simply say, okay, you're supposed to love, you're supposed to love your neighbor and you're supposed to love. He goes on and gives explicit instructions as to how we're supposed to react with those who are considered to be our enemy for whatever reason. You know, sometimes people have enemies that don't even know each other. Have you noticed that in our world today? I mean, I have literally seen this. Somebody that doesn't know anybody, you know, they've never met this person, they don't know who they are, they don't know what they stand for, but because the logo on their baseball cap is from an opposing team that they like, they'll despise each other. Because the sweatshirt that they wear is from the other team, then I must hate them. I must show that distaste. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't know a single thing about the person wearing the hat or wearing the shirt, and yet we will have that sort of an attitude towards people around us, and we're all guilty of it. We all make spot judgments. Now, it's a different sermon for a different day, but also in the book of Matthew, the Lord tells us that we're not supposed to judge people. Judge not lest ye be judged, because the same standard of judgment you use to judge somebody, God says, if it's good enough for you to use in judging someone, then I'll use your standard to judge you by. Now, I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. So he says, just because their hat's different than yours, or their sweatshirt's different than yours, or because they're sitting on the visitor's side of the ball field instead of the home side of the ball field, just because they're a different color than you are, just because they're from a different country than you are, the Lord says that is no reason to hate your enemy. But that's what's been being taught again. What it says, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus pointed out the fallacy of the teaching of the Pharisees right there, but he didn't just leave it there. You know why? Jesus was really good at not leaving something with just, don't do this. You know why? Because have you ever noticed that sometimes when somebody says, don't do that, we will say, okay, well, we won't do that, but we'll try something else, and it's wrong too. We'll come up with another wrong solution. But Jesus never left it hanging at that. Jesus said, here's what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to follow that teaching that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But here's what you are supposed to do. Verse 44. Verse 44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Let me stop for a moment. That's hard, isn't it? Love your enemies. Because I can't tell you how many times over the last 30 years of ministry that when I have pointed something like this out to somebody, this is what I usually hear. But you don't know what they did to me. You don't understand what they've done. You don't understand the deep hurt that they have caused me. You don't understand the tremendous financial loss that they caused me. You do not understand, because if you understood, you wouldn't be telling me this. I beg to differ. You're right, maybe about 50% of what you just said. Maybe I don't understand what you've gone through. But I can promise you that it doesn't matter how I feel. Folks, we as Christians have to stop living by our emotions. Salvation's not an emotion. Salvation's a relationship. Emotions will get you in trouble. And most of the time, our emotions is that when somebody has wronged us, we categorize them as an enemy, and we do everything to counterpunch, as it were. And even if we don't, even if we just go away heartbroken and go away sad, we just shut things off at that point. And Jesus is now telling us that not only are we supposed to love our neighbor, but we're supposed to love our enemies as well. How do you do that? Any of y'all know how to do that? If any of y'all said, well, you know what, I've done this my whole life and I've got this down to a science. Listen, let me know, because I want to sign you up for special conferences that we're going to have here at the church, and we're going to teach the world how to love each other. Now, if you can give me that surefire guarantee, let's make it happen, okay? Yeah, short of what we're going to talk about right here. It's hard to love your enemies, isn't it? By the way, last time I checked, this is yes, and this is no. I'm going to ask you again. It's hard to love your enemies, isn't it? It's difficult. It's a challenge. And you know what we do? This is the really funny part. God already knows every recess of our heart. God already knows what's taking place. He knows what's going on. He knows how we feel. He knows everything about us. And yet we try to explain to God the reason why it's okay for us to hate the person that we're hating, our enemy, don't we? The Lord says this, and by the way, he probably did this morning for you. If you're watching at home, if you're in the parking lot, if you're next door in the sanctuary, no matter what happens, there is somebody that the Holy Spirit has pinpointed in your life, and right now God is saying you're supposed to love that person, and you're going, I can't do that. But God, if you only knew what they said and did to me, and God says, I do. But if you only knew what they cost me, God said, I do. You mean, God, you know all these things, and yet you're still telling me that I'm supposed to love that person? God says, yes. Yes, indeed. But I say to you, verse 44, not the Pharisees. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Most of us can't get any deeper in that verse than that, because we're having a hard time loving our enemies. We're having a hard time wrapping our brain around that. But I don't want you to lose me there yet, because that's not the end of verse 44. It says, love your enemies, bless those who persecute you. Listen, man, that's sticking the knife in and turning it. You're telling me that I'm supposed to try to be a blessing and bless those who are trying to do me wrong? Oh, man. Now you're drawing, come on, Lord. Man, it's one thing for me to put up with them from a distance. It's one thing for me to come around to trying to love my enemy. But now you're asking me to actually do something. You're asking me to bless those who are cursing me. Is that what we want to do? Is that what's intuitive for you and I? No. You know why? Listen, here, folks, understand my heart when I tell you this. We have been so immersed in the world that we have picked up the ways of the world. Because you know what the world says to do? Well, the world has the Pharisaical viewpoint that I'm going to love my neighbor and I'm going to hate my enemy. But not only am I supposed to hate my enemy, I'm supposed to do everything I can to trip them up. I'm supposed to do everything I can to make it hard for them. Not only am I supposed to stick the knife in, I'm supposed to twist it. And we, as Christian people, have allowed the world to dictate that to us. You don't think so? I guarantee you that every one of you right now can think of a Christian friend who's been very vindictive to those who have been considered their enemies. And yet, that's not what Jesus said. You know, here's the problem. The problem is, it might even be me and you. What has the Holy Spirit pointed out in our life today? It's one thing for us to love our enemies, verse 44, but to bless those who curse us. I mean, if you put that in a literal sense, if somebody comes up and says, well, I don't like you, you blankety blank blank blank, and I don't ever want to blankety blank blank blank. Bless you, my son. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, and Jesus doesn't mean just say the words. See, sometimes we're real hypocritical as well, aren't we? We can sit back and say, oh, God. Here's a classic Southern hypocritical statement, and you all will get what I'm saying when I say this, okay? Most of you all know the Southern definition of bless your heart, right? I mean, yeah, somebody goes out and does something so incredibly dumb. And you just look at them and go, bless her heart. Bless his heart. You know what? Everybody knows what your intent means. Everybody knows what that statement really means when you say it in that fashion. You know, you're just like, what does an aneurysm feel like? Yeah. Yeah. That's the way we are. And yet, sometimes what we do as Christian people is we go out and we say, God bless you, brother, but that's not what's in our heart. See, that's the struggle. The struggle is that even when those who are your enemies curse you, even when those who are your enemies come up against you, that you have the right and pure heart to be able to say, God, I want you to bless them, and I want you to bless them in a supernatural, spiritual way, and I mean that with all of my heart. That is tough, isn't it? God wants us to love him and walk with him in such a fashion that we can do that from the heart. That when our enemies persecute us and when our enemies curse us, that we really, really can say, Lord, I want you to bless their heart. Not, Lord, bless their heart. Not the Southern bless their heart, but the biblical bless their heart. You see what I'm saying? Jesus said, but I say to you, we're supposed to be following the teachings of Christ, aren't we? We're not supposed to be following the teachings of some man. Listen, if you're following a man, you're in trouble. If you're following a pastor, I don't care how good they are, you're in trouble. You need to be following Jesus. And my challenge for you has always been, you better make sure that what comes out of this pulpit is sifted through the Word of God and that the Word of God agrees with it. You need to know why you believe what you believe, period. Not because, well, Roy said that. Trust me when I tell you, Roy's been wrong a lot in Roy's life. Check him out through here. Check everything in your life. Sift it through the Word of God. And Jesus says, love those enemies. Bless those, verse 44, who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Hold on just a minute. Now you've crossed the line, Jesus. Man, it's one thing for me to put up with them. It's one thing for me to try to love them. It is another thing for me to try to bless them who are cursing me. But then you're asking me to do good to them? You're asking me to return all of this hatred and malice that they're giving me? You're asking me to return it with good? You know what Jesus says? That's exactly what I'm asking you to do. Ouch! I've literally had people who sat back and said, I just can't do that. I'm just not made up that way. I'm like, you don't have a choice. Folks, listen, if you are wrestling with the Holy Spirit today about whether or not you should do this, let me emphatically point out, yes, you should. Because thus saith the word of God, not me. Now, some of you are not going to be going away from the house of God today or from your living room or from your automobile or from the church sanctuary. Some of you are not going to be going away happy today. Some of you are going to be going away under conviction today because of what you need to do, the ways that you need to be acting and the ways that you need to be reacting, because every ounce of who we are, that old sinful man says, don't let people take advantage of you. Don't let people run over you. Don't let that happen. Don't let that take place. You deserve to have your rights. Well, folks, last time I checked, when we trusted Jesus, we gave our life to him. Y'all have heard that expression, right? We gave our life to Jesus. Well, when we gave it to him, we gave our rights over to him, and Jesus said, this is how he wants us to act. This is how he wants us to react. Now, don't be like a child. Now, when I say like a child, you know what I'm talking about. Now, some of you have done this before. You've either been the person who's had to do this, or you have been the person who has said to do this. And let me tell you, either way, you know it doesn't work. You know, when you've had a brother, how many of y'all had a brother or sister grew up with you? Now, let me ask this. How many of you all fought with your brothers and sisters? Hallelujah. We've got honesty going on in the house of God today. Now, how many of you ever had your mama? It was usually your mama. Your daddy didn't put up with, but it was usually your mama. Yeah, you, all of a sudden something happened and you went and said, Mom, yeah, Johnny did this or Johnny did that. And then what happens is mama gets you together and says, you apologize to your brother. How many of y'all have ever experienced that on one level or the other? Now, most of the time, if you were the one who was the victim of what took place, little brother Johnny would go, I'm sorry. Now, how did that make you feel? I don't have to bring you up here with a microphone like we're on a talk show, because I can tell you how you felt. You knew that that was not sincere. You knew that through that little sheepish grin that they were giving you, because mama was behind you, that they didn't mean a word that they said, but that was the way they were going to escape, and you felt like they had victory and that they had escaped and nothing had been done. Amen? I'm sorry. Folks, let me tell you, Jesus knows the intent of the heart behind what we do. Don't go around being hypocritical. See, you have to develop the love of Jesus in your heart for your enemies. And here is the tough part. In and of ourselves, we cannot do that. Outside of the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we cannot do that. We are not capable of loving our enemies in the way that God wants us to without his help. That's why we've got to walk with him. We've got to talk with him. We've got to study. We've got to learn. We've got to fall so in love with Jesus that that relationship, our pride doesn't matter. You see, most of the problem, the time and the timing of all this, our pride is usually the biggest issue, isn't it? That person did something to me. That person took advantage of me. That person stepped on my rights. That person violated my opinion. That person did this, that, and it always comes back to pointing. And I love what a teacher taught me one time when I was growing up in high school. Said, you got to be careful, because if you ever point a finger, there's three pointing back at you, right? Be careful. But I, Jesus, say to you, love your enemies, bless those who persecute you, do good to those who hate you. And then the final twist of the knife, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, Lord, you're telling me that I have to love my enemies. I've got to bless those who are cursing me. I've got to do good to those who hate me. And I have to pray for those who spitefully use me. And I have to pray for the people who are persecuting me. Come on. Let me pray for them. Let me pray for them like David prayed in Psalm 55. Remember how David prayed in Psalm 55? See, we've all been here. All right, Lord, I'll pray for them. Lord, I want you to send them to hell alive. I don't even want you to kill them. I want you to make them right? Yeah, we're sitting there going, well, he didn't tell us this. That, listen, if you go back and look at Psalm 55, that is what David prayed about his enemies. Let them go down alive to Sheol, hell. Okay, Lord, vindicate me. If you don't want me to do this, fine. But listen, don't even kill them before you burn them in hell. Hey, I want to see them like burst into flame. I want to hear the screams. Let me make you a promise, folks. When you get to the point where you can follow Jesus' teaching in verse 44. Now, as strange as it may sound to you at this point, here's something I'm going to make you a promise. There will come a day when you will truly be praying that God would lighten up on your enemies. You will see through the eyes of the Savior. You will actually feel sorry for those who persecuted you. You will feel sorry for those enemies. You will ask the Lord, say, Lord, look, I know they've done some nasty things in their life, but man, they don't deserve to be going through what they're going through with. And we'll pray that way to the Father. As long as you turn it over to Him, I promise you that God, if God gets their attention, it's going to be better than anything you ever imagined. It's going to be worse than anything that you ever imagined. And you will actually pray for God to deliver your enemies. Now, some of you all are sitting there thinking, I don't know about that. Yeah. When you're so in love with the Lord and you are following His word and when you are doing these things with the right heart. Remember what I said a minute ago? That's not you. This is not you as a Christian going up and going, all right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to slap you. I didn't mean to throw, you know, ice on you, you know, while you were outside. I didn't mean to do these things. No, you got to have the right heart. The right heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. He goes on and says that you may be, verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Do you understand what that verse is saying? Even though God knows everything, there are still blessings that are bestowed upon those that the Word of God even says are unjust. How many times in life have we prayed and said, Lord, you know that's my enemy. You know that person doesn't know you. That person doesn't love you. But yet they're prospering. You ever been there? Lord, why is it that as your child, I'm over here suffering and they don't have anything to do with you and they prosper day to day? They prosper in business. They prosper financially. They prosper in every way, shape, form, or fashion. That's what we've done, isn't it? Why, God? Why? The Lord tells us right here. He said, you know what? He says the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust. The rain comes on the just as well as the unjust. Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same thing? You know what he's saying here? It's easier to love people who love you, isn't it? That's not a challenge. If somebody loves you, you love them back. And it's easy. That's not challenging. He says that. He said, even the tax collectors do that. And in verse 47, he says, and if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? And in this regard, this is actually translated, even the Gentiles do that. See, he was using even what they thought against them because the Jews didn't, you know, they were like, oh, I'm Gentiles. They're just old, dirty, nasty people. He said, even the Gentiles greet each other. Even they, you know, get along with one another. He says, where's the challenge in that? It's not hard to love someone who loves you back. It's hard to love somebody who doesn't love you, isn't it? That's a challenge. It's hard to pray for somebody who's cursing you and despising you, isn't it? Now remember, when I said pray for them, and when Jesus said pray for them, he means pray correctly for them. Remember, don't be praying for God to send them alive to hell. No. You need to be praying that God would reach their heart with the gospel message. You need to be praying that they will become everything Jesus wants them to become for His honor and for His glory. Can we do that? In and of ourselves, we cannot. Remember what I said a moment ago? It is impossible for us to do that. But look at verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Do you know what this verse is saying? As Christian, the term Christian, if you look it up, Christian means Christ-like. That's what it means. What are we supposed to do as believers in our society today? We are supposed to model Christ's life that we would become Christ-like. I love that expression. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus react in these circumstances? How would Jesus react in these situations? If you want a good litmus test for how to treat your enemy, when it all starts unraveling, ask yourself this: what would Jesus do in this situation? You're not going to like the answer because it's not a worldly answer. But He says He wants us to become like Him. He wants us to be Christ-like. So what the Pharisees had to do is they had to revision the principle that they had been teaching. Love your enemies, not despise your enemies. He gave them illustrations. What are the implications of those particular teachings? We have to, here it is, are you ready for this? First of all, here's what we have to do if we're ever gonna make any headway, and I'll wrap it up. We have to have a proper attitude and a proper assessment of ourselves. You remember what I said a minute ago? The grace of God abounds in Roy Carter. I have been blessed far beyond what I deserve. And when I walk with Him and when I talk with Him, my attitude must be this: I am a sinner saved by grace. I am no better than anyone. We've said this many, many times. The ground around the cross is all level. There's not a place for different ethnicities. There's not a place for different nationalities. There's not a different place for Baptists and Methodists and all these different. No. The ground around the cross, we're all saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's how we're saved, plus or minus nothing. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm no better than you. I'm no better than him. I'm no better than her. And we need to start understanding that. It is time for us to get off of our high horse and start understanding what Jesus told us. We have to have a proper attitude of ourselves, that we're sinners saved by grace, no better than anyone else. And we must have a proper attitude toward others. The same saving grace that saved my soul is what God wants to bestow upon every person that we come in contact with, including your enemies, including those who persecute you, including those who talk bad about you, including those who conspire against you. The Lord says, you pray for them. You give them to me, and I will take care of it. See, we may reject this, but it's for our own good. And the Lord gives us a warning today. May this new year be a new start. May we lose the Pharisaical attitude that we love those who love us and hate our enemies. And may we come around to Jesus' wording where He says, I want you to love those who love you, but I also want you to love those who hate you. Can we make a new start in a new year rather than rejecting His word? The only way that that's going to happen is that we have to have the renewing work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives to make us like Him. That is the only way. Folks, I can promise you this. I know how hard it is to love those who conspire against you. Lynn, come on up. I know what it's like to have to pray for those who have tried to orchestrate your demise. I know what it's like to have to extend the love of God to somebody who can't stand you. I know what that's like. But let me tell you what else I know. I also know this. I also know what it's like to be true to God's word, to reach out to those who didn't like me, and the Lord worked in their heart. I also know what it's like to have been the one standing at somebody's side in a rough time when they thought I would have been the last person to stand by their side. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is. And you know what? When we get to the point that we can just surrender it all to the Father, our feelings, those emotions, don't control us anymore. Lord, you know what? I know I need to reach out to that person, and I know they've called me everything except a preacher boy. God says, reach out anyway. God says, pray for him anyway. Oh, and do it in person. Has it made a difference? Yes, it has. Have there been times when it hadn't? Yeah, there's been times that it hadn't. I'm not going to fill you with false hope. But I'm going to tell you this. I sleep really good at night without the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life saying, you did this wrong. Love your friends. Love your brothers. Love your sisters. Love those like you, but love those who are not like you as well. I said a moment ago, we can't do that without the help of the Lord. First question I'm asking you is, have you trusted Him? Have you given your life to Him? Are you part of the family? Are you one of His children? Listen, if not, today, right where you are, God is calling you to salvation through Jesus Christ. It's nothing magical. It's not about a process. It's believing in Him. But I'll tell you, prayer is a pretty good little process. So whether you're here in this multi-purpose building, whether you're sitting in your car outside, whether you're over in the sanctuary viewing by simulcast, or whether you're at home watching, wherever you are, if the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart that you need Jesus, right where you are, just stop what you're doing. If you're listening, driving down the road, stop the car for a minute. Let the Lord deal with your life. And as you do, say, Lord, today, I realize I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. Forgive my sin. Come into my life and save my soul. And Lord, help me, teach me to live for you in Jesus' name. And listen, let me make you a promise. If you meant that with your heart, wherever you were, there's rejoicing of all the saints in heaven today because you gave your life to Jesus. Isn't that great? If you did that, please let us know. If you're watching in our online family, please let Dr. Gant know. We would love to be able to send you some information. You can private message him if you want to. Our information is there on our Facebook page as well as our website. If you're here, if you're on the premises, please let us know. We would like to get some information to you to help you, to disciple you in your walk with Jesus. You don't all of a sudden just become overly wise biblically. We've made a lot of mistakes following Jesus, hadn't we? But we strive to be more like Him. For those of us today, you may have realized that I know Jesus, but I've allowed the world to creep into who I am as a believer. Today, Jesus put this myriad of names through my mind of people that I am literally hating. And I need to change that. But Lord, I can't change it without you. I can't do it in and of myself. So for those people, Lord, today, I'm asking you to help me love them like you love them. I know it's going to be a process. I know it's going to take time. But Lord, today, starting today, I'm going to start to pray for those who despise me. I'm going to start to pray for those who have come after me. I'm going to start to pray for those who want nothing more in this world than to see me fail and to see my demise. And Lord, I'm turning them over to you. Can you do that today? Can you repent of the old way, the old Pharisaical way, and turn your eyes upon Jesus? Listen, if that's you, just where you are, just bow your head and say, Lord, today I realize the conviction of my heart. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me as I repent to be a true agent of your love and your grace. Lord, help me to see people the way you see me. Help me to love people the way you love me. Help me to treat people the way you treat me. Lord, I'm coming back to you. Forgive my sin. I'm coming home. Help me, Father, one day at a time, one step at a time, to be more like you. As we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take just a moment or two where you are, wherever you may be. Spend this time of commitment and dedication. As always, if you need to talk to us, let us know. We'll be around. Coronavirus has us doing things different than we've done them in the past. I still love a good old-fashioned altar call, but it's hard to do those in this day and age. But there's an altar call in your heart. Don't let it escape you this moment. As Lynn plays, as Lynn carries us to the throne in worship, may you do business with God. Everything I lay here at your feet. you know, it's hard to lay down who we are when we guard it so closely, isn't it? It's hard to put the pride down. It's hard to say, Lord, I don't want to do this, but I promise you it'll be worth it. Lay it at His feet. Become more like Him and change your world. Let me make you a promise that not only will it change your world, it will change those around you. That's the great part. Show people the love of Jesus as we love people in His name. What a great, great thing. God is good. I say God is good. And all the time, God is good. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you so much for those that have tuned in, wherever you may be. We were glad to have you a part of Central Baptist Church this morning. And just want to give you a reminder that next Sunday, the 17th, Awana will resume following Christmas break. We did give it some time at the request of Awana International. We know that there was Christmas and New Year's, and we wanted to make sure that, I know people went a lot of different ways, so we're trying to watch out for the best interest and the health of the children. So we gave it time after New Year's that if somebody was going to be sick, we would know it before starting back up. So next Sunday, the 17th, Awana will start back up at its normal time of 5:30. 6 o'clock. 5:30 for youth, 6 o'clock for everybody else. There we go. And Tony got to keep me straight along the way. I want to ask you to pray for something as well as we get ready to dismiss. Prayerfully, right now it's in the works that we might have the opportunity to have one of our favorite Cuban pastors with us in the next couple of weeks. You have heard so much about the church at Ducaro. This is the Awana Club that you as a church have supported over the years. It is the church that has the music ministry where we have smuggled instruments in and we have kept everything up and going. Pastor Julio Cesar, how's the last name? Rodriguez? Anyway, Pastor Julio, as we know him. This is the church where we did the revival, did the door-to-door visitation in the community at the risk of more than we probably would ever know, and had a wonderful, wonderful trip last year. If everything works out right, Pastor Julio may be here 2 weeks from today to be able to share with you, to be able to share his heart. We're looking forward to that. Do keep that in your prayers as we go forward. And, you know, we're looking to be able to have a way. That was one of the things that's been on our heart, was how can we support this Awana ministry for the next year, because it takes the funding that they don't have to do it. You have provided, through the Lord's leading, have provided everything that they need to make Awana work, and we weren't going to be able to go back in March. So at any rate, with him being here, that's gonna bring a piece of the puzzle together. Also, several things. His daughters need some glasses that cannot be made in Cuba. We're working on having those made, all three of them. They have astigmatism, so they can't cut those type of lenses there. But I have their prescriptions. We'll be working this week. Keep that in your prayers as well, that we can have that done, as well as being able to send the finances to keep Awana going for next year at Ducaro, as well as Sissia's music ministry that is touching hearts and lives. She teaches 3-year-old little girls violin. Now, I'm telling you, it is the sweetest thing you ever saw. I can show you some videos that she has sent, but she's done that as a ministry to the community, and in so, she's working with the parents as well, and she's being able to share the gospel with them. Isn't that great? Listen, we get to see one of the folks that we pray for and that we support. Continue to pray that God works it out where he can be with us. Anything else I need to mention before we go? Thank you so much for your support, for all that you've done to see the gospel go forward through Central Baptist Church. We'll keep you posted as best we can on various things going. Again, thank you to Ernie Wall. Ernie's got it so that the people that are outside can sit in a warm car and just tune us in to 105.5 FM just on the property. Don't go home and think you're going to be able to pick it up at home, because you can't. It's just for here. So, yeah, come on back. We love you. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. We're praying that God's going to bless you tremendously in 2021. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We love you. Thank you so much, Lord, just for showing your grace upon us. Lord, today's been a hard lesson. It's easy for us to take the Pharisees' lesson and to say, hey, we're going to love those who love us, but we're going to hate those who are our enemies. That's not what you called us to do. You called us to not only love those who are lovely, but, Father, to love those who despise us and those who plot against us. And that's a challenge. Lord, we need your help to become more like you. Speak to our hearts. Give us courage to listen. And, Lord, as we go away from this place, may we go away differently because we've been in your presence. Bless us, and bless us good is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.